Holy boom shakalakas, that's right, man. One round of the sports brew was not enough. No, no, no. Wasted Wednesday absolutely could not contain us. So that's right, we are back. This is going to be a thirsty Thursday. A round brew. Not merely a round two, my friends. A round brew. Because that is how we roll up in this piece. That is what you call sports brew style. And that's right, as we always do, we're going to start out with a little bit of a salute. And if you're out there and if you're playing the sports brew drinking game, which just means you're listening to the sports brew at the end of the day, right?
Take a shot.
Yeah, go ahead and take a shot, take a swig, not one back, and let's get this party cranked up, man. We obviously hit a lot of things in the first wave of the brewness, but we had some unfinished business. Unfinished business, my friend. And so that's right. I am the captain, and I'm here hanging out in the basement with my man Shannon, the Twitter Terminator MacGuffin. And lo and behold, rest assured, as this evening unfolds, there's a solid chance that we will dial a dude and bring in a little slice of D-Stat. And that is what she said.
Hey now.
Hey-o. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, all kidding aside. Actually, a couple of things. I think if you've listened to the first podcast from this week, obviously you've enjoyed the Flacco Rainbow. And I'm going to post some lyrics to that, so that'll be in the sports brew wall. But I think Shannon had an apology.
I'd like to apologize to my family and friends for my singing performance in that podcast, because it was just, it was worse than horrible.
Hey, don't worry, I don't think either one of us did anything particularly fantastic there. Yeah, that's about what that was.
Can you just give me the fail horn on that one?
You want a straight up fail horn on that? Aw, come on, man. See, it wasn't that bad, was it? Yeah, never mind. I listened to it five times. It was pretty gnarly.
It was funny, but
now,
I sucked at it.
Now, granted, I probably deserve a couple of fail horns as well, you know, for rocking that bad boy.
I liked it. It's funny.
It was a lot of fun, though.
It was a lot
of fun. It really was a lot of fun. LeVar Burton somewhere may have shed a tear.
Because he had to hear it?
I don't know. Maybe our rendition of that should not be the Flacco Rainbow. Maybe it should be the Failing Rainbow.
Hey.
Entirely possible. No, that was a lot of fun, though. That actually
that
has to go down.
Fun.
Along with We Wish You a Merry Griffmas.
That was tremendous.
That was a lot of fun.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, that was good. But I got to tell you, I think the Sports Brew sing-along, Reading Rainbow, Flacco Rainbow, that has to go down as one of my favorite segments.
Could you imagine, like, an infomercial?
Infomercial
with us doing like sing-alongs for kids.
Oh no, it'd be tragic. First of all, all the kids would need hot toddies. You know what I'm saying? Or you'd have to just go ahead. They'd need to be like losing a tooth so we could, well, not we, but their parents or somebody could rub like liquor. You know, some whiskey. Incidentally, it's what I'm drinking tonight. A little bit of Coke. A little bit of Kentucky.
Oh, you're not drinking just a little bit, my friend.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's 50-50. Like I said, I've said in podcasts past.
64.
I make these drinks. This is the Rod Gardner method. It's the 50-50. Okay, this may have been 60-40.
60-40.
Okay, well, that's fine. The captain has a heavy hand on the nights of the sports brew. And a quick shout-out to Brandon Venery for dropping what looked like the sports brew-sponsored convenience store.
Beautiful,
that was
man.
Fantastic.
That was awesome.
That was really good. That was a great picture. So you get a salute from both the Twitter Terminator and the captain.
Cheers,
and Lord knows, if you can find that place on Foursquare, please mark it on the map so we can track it down. We'll go down there and hang out with a couple of mini bottles. You know, that actually might be... What airport was it where they had all the workers that stole all the liquor bottles? Was that...
All of them?
No, yeah, where they had, like, all of them. No, but they had, like, this racket, and they were, like... They were just thieving out, like, tons and tons of liquor bottles. It was crazy.
I don't know, but I wish I worked there.
Yeah, well, I think they all got fired. But they had an alcohol racket. That was probably a convenience store somewhere located around
Northeast,
that airport.
Northeast. Gotta be.
Maybe. That had to be located around the airport that had all the stolen little mini liquor bottles. It's perfect. I mean, I think one was like a Faygo, and they looked like they had like, I don't know, you had like your normal cola, Coke, whatever, Dr. Pepper, or some orange. I don't know about Captain Morgan's and like Orange Crush. I'm not sold on that. I think I could do vodka with orange soda.
That makes more sense, yeah.
I don't know about rum, dude. I think that's like a flavor conflict.
Coke or a pepper, maybe.
Yeah. Now, look, man, rum is fantastic with Dr. Pepper. Yeah. That's that 24th flavor that they don't talk about.
Ooh.
It's 23 straight up. You add the rum, baby, that's number 24. Gold. And that junk, my friend, once you get that 24th flavor in there, that is the business, Captain Style.
Personal file, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Giving that damn drink the business, baby. Yes, sir.
Woo!
We had to throw a little Mark Wu in there. We were a little light on that in the first half
of
this podcast.
Mark Wu. We won't be on this one, buddy.
No. Because I think Dollar Dude's going to be in effect. I'm pretty sure D-Stat's going to make an appearance here.
It's always good to have D-Stat on.
Yeah, he just has to break away from his porn.
Hey, now.
You know? Oh, man. Actually, you know, Mark would probably be a good person to be in that in Peyton's prostate exam. Wouldn't that be fantastic? I'm telling you, man. Peyton with double gloves, dude. Isotoner, he and Dan Marino. I'm telling you, man. Peyton's prostate exams. Home catheters and prostates. It's beautiful. The full-on colonoscopy.
Oh, my gosh.
Unfortunately, we're totally tearing through. Like, we had like an hour and 45 minutes of material last time, and we just took like the meat of it. You know what I'm saying? Right there. That was like the golden nuggets, man. Obviously, for anybody that hasn't listened, we just spoiled a whole bunch of crap for you. But if you have listened, thank you, number one. We appreciate that. Thank
you. Absolutely.
Thank you. We appreciate that. I think we're going to clear 23,000 hits.
I think we were at 22,999.
Yeah. When I uploaded the first half of the divisional podcast O'Doom with our tennis and golf tropical storm destruction, I meant to say topical storm. I may have said tropical storm, but I meant to say topical storm. That was not a typo when I put that in there.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was a topical storm.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Tennis. Seriously, I still can't believe. I still can't believe tennis and golf.
Ironically, our most listened to podcast was the Olympic one.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
That's because I had the Spice Girl thing in there.
Well, that was awesome.
Oh, my God, the Olympics. That was a lot of fun. I can't believe we're going to have to wait 4 years to do another Olympic podcast.
Oh, yeah. We had
Summer Olympics, because we'll have the winter. But I don't know if that's just fun.
I like
Maybe
the,
it is.
I'm a Summer Olympics person. I like those. Those are my favorite.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. They're pretty cool. But you know what that means? It's not tennis time, and it's not golf time.
And it's not the Olympics time.
No, it's not the Olympics time. There's no more posh Spice. There's no One Direction floating up around here. None of that crap. Actually, there is One Direction. You know what it is? Football. Football, baby.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Fox, for letting us steal your theme. Actually, technically, thank you, Tony Bruno, for having the Fox football theme on your soundboard. I guess we should be equitable for CBS.
Well,
maybe.
We're getting ready to do Seattle, Atlanta, so we're going to do Fox.
Oh, yeah?
Because Fox does the NFC.
Oh, you don't know CBS?
Yeah, we'll hit on New England and Houston afterward.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, the Houston-New England game, of all the games this past weekend, that was my least favorite.
New England, I got to tell you, man, you'll probably disagree with me, but they have a way of just making it look so easy.
Stop it!
They're just good, baby.
They're just good. I mean, Belichick and Brady... And Vince Warfolk. How do you say his last name? Warfolk?
Really? Norfolk?
Yeah, Norfolk.
Vince Norfolk, Virginia?
I'm on my fourth fork.
Will
Fork? Guys.
He looks like he will use a fork.
He might.
He's a big boy.
All those guys.
What do you mean he might? Have you looked at Vince?
He may just use his bare hands.
Vince Will. Yeah, he's probably eating with his frickin' mitts. He could, man. He could.
So don't give me that crap.
Yo, seriously.
Easy there.
That dude is humongous, man. I'm telling you. Vince.
They just make it look so easy.
Well, Houston helped them make it look so easy.
Well, yeah.
We'll get to that, because I really think if we're going to start off right, strong, I think we have to go to the best game of that day. Oh. I mean.
Quite possibly the weekend, depending on who's... opinion, you ask.
I don't know that it eclipses the Denver-Baltimore, but, well, yeah. In total, I think the Denver-Baltimore game
overall
was a better game start to finish.
Right.
Now, Seattle-Atlanta, By the time you get into the fourth quarter, that game was like, that was a football heart attack.
Yes.
I mean, that game was absolutely freaking crazy, dude. Crazy. You know, it's one of those things, and that was a funny game because when we were watching it, the first half, I mean, to me, watching that first half, and it's just like, dude, Atlanta can virtually do no wrong.
Nah.
You know, that was about as well as a first half could go for a team. I guess you could say it would have gone better had they gotten touchdowns on all the possessions instead of a couple of field goals. But you're at home. You're running strong. Your defense is looking good. You know, Seattle's making mistakes that obviously came back to bite him in the ass. Yeah, by the end of the game. That, to me, that first half, if there's anything that first half should be for Atlanta, that's attitude.
Yes.
Attitude. A lot of doubters. And, you know, look, we've given Atlanta a little bit of grief.
Oh, we give them the business.
You know, we've given them the business. I think they're a very good team. But, you know, in the playoffs, and this is something we talked about a lot with Green Bay and San Francisco, do you have that playoff gear?
Yeah.
And you could see the clear difference between the 49ers and the Packers. That, you know, the 49ers had that extra gear. They had that extra speed. They had that extra scheme. They had that extra hustle, that execution. And in that first half, Atlanta not only statistically dominated. As a viewer.
Oh, it wasn't even close.
When you watched that game, that was all Atlanta. And that, to me, is what you wanted to see. Come out of the gate strong. Come out with attitude. Own the game. Own the moment.
Their first possession, they scored more in that first possession than they did last year in the entire game. They lost 24-2 last year.
Well, they've had enough playoff fails. They were due. They were due.
Well, they were due, but they came out and put it to Seattle. They weren't waiting around.
No. No. They needed to come out strong. I think that was critical for them. And, you know, one of the key things to remember is early on, and this is something that I think in years past, Matt Ryan, I don't think he responds as well as he did. When he threw the interception, you just didn't know. You just didn't know how, was that going to turn into a meltdown? You know, because Seattle is a team that capitalizes quite well on turnovers. Yes. They're probably one of the best. And I think at one point maybe at the end of the year, but I could swear they finished the year as the number one scoring defense in the league.
Well, they're the reason that I got second in our fantasy league because of that game against, who was it, Arizona?
Arizona. I mean, well, yeah.
I mean, they returned two picks for a touchdown.
That game alone, probably any defense that played Arizona at the end, or probably the Jets at virtually any point, inflated their defensive rankings significantly. But that's more a reflection of their offenses. But, you know, Seattle, it's a good defense, flat out. Very physical defense. Look, they were down Clemens, who tore his ACL in the game against the Redskins. That hurt them significantly.
Oh, yeah, especially in a run game.
Yeah, from a run defensive, you know, or defending the run standpoint, also for generating, you know, just the pass rush. And Pete Carroll came out after the game and said one of the things that came out was that, you know, this offseason, they're absolutely looking for pass rushers. Now, granted, virtually every team can say that. I mean, let's be fair.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. You want pass rushers on your NFL team.
Sorry, Jadeveon Clowney is only a sophomore.
God, that dude is going to make some fat freaking cash.
Top five.
I hope Clowney has a massive insurance policy.
He's got to.
If anything blows, you know, if he blows out a knee or anything crazy.
Look at his teammate.
Yeah. No.
Marcus Lattimore.
He better have a beast level insurance policy because that kid's draft stock is going to be astronomical when he declares.
I would imagine, depending on who's got the first pick, that he would probably go top next year.
It's very doable.
I mean, obviously, I haven't looked at who's coming out next year because we're more worried about who's coming out this year. But
well, if you want to see who's coming out, you can always watch Brokeback Mountain.
Hey, now.
Hey-o.
All right, no. Let's get to the game.
Actually, the only reason that cropped up is because Sarah, my fiance, was sick the past couple days, and so she was home, and she was watching a lot of stuff on Netflix. And she actually did watch Brokeback Mountain. I came home today from work, and I was like, hey, what's going on? She's chilling on the sofa. She was telling me that she watched Brokeback Mountain. I was like, all right, was it good? She's like, well, yeah, it was good. it was more of a love story than I thought it was going to be. I'm like, well, you know. I mean, in the end, what did you...
Hey, now.
What did you expect that to be? All right. Speaking of love stories.
This just took a turn for the worse.
Yeah, that probably is a turn for the worse, man.
Everybody just turned off the sports brew.
No.
Beautiful, man.
No, it's okay.
All right, so
that has to be one of the strangest tangent topic jumps we have ever had.
I'd say that's at number one.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
1A?
1A, 1B, I don't know.
All right, so look, Ryan throws the pick.
Right.
On the next possession, they get Marshawn Lynch to fumble the ball away. How much confidence, you know, you're talking about like your quarterback, you're trying to overcome all of these things, you know,
right.
All these perceptions. Matt Ryan throws that pick and you're like, oh my God, here we go again. And your defense comes up huge with that fumble and the
right.
fumble recovery. I mean, that's just right then and there. Atlanta's confidence just boom, had to be sky high.
That's one of those things when if you give the ball away and you get it right back, I mean, it's almost like, I'm not saying it's like it's a forgiven transgression or a forgiven turnover, but I don't think you have as long to really stew on it. And that was probably a really good thing for Matt Ryan.
Yes.
You get right back out there. You go right back to work. And, you know, as much as I love Marshawn Lynch, and he really is a phenomenal running back, he's coughed it up a couple of times here in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a side note.
Yeah, I don't think he had a fumble all year until the Washington game last week when he lost a fumble at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And
London Fletcher.
He lost this one.
Yeah. Oh, well, you have to give credit to the Falcons' defense, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's just...
Both plays were made by linebackers.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of things, I think the biggest takeaway here is the Falcons get the ball right back.
Absolutely.
And from an attitude standpoint, and really from Matt Ryan, I think for him to be able to go right back out there, or you know, that quickly, and just roll, super important. Didn't have time to sit on the sidelines, you know. The crowd gets right back into it. You got the home game. They're a little bit feisty. They're probably a little bit saucy, you know. Well, if we have saucy Saturday, we ought to have shots Sunday.
Ooh.
Right?
Sunday shots.
Yeah, nice. Sunday shots, man. It's a Sunday shots special. I'm telling you, I like it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's good. So, really, you know, Matt Ryan looked very sharp in that first half.
On that next possession when they got the ball back, I got to tell you, at the goal line and then in the end zone, two of the more beautiful toe-tap catches you're going to see. Matt Ryan to Kaufman.
That first one. Everybody's like, is that Gonzalez? Nope. Who is it? It's Chase Kaufman.
Chase Kaufman. I mean, just...
Great catch.
Beautiful.
Great catch.
It's just... Oh my goodness.
To get his feet in, to really, and not just to move, but to contort his body.
You're talking a tight. I mean, this is not a receiver. It's tight end.
No, that was a fantastic catch. I don't think anybody really expected that. And like I said, when you saw that play, and I think even the announcers were like, "Oh, it's Tony Gonzalez. Oh, wait a second, it's Chase
They're
Kaufman."
Looking at their sheet.
Who? What?
Who is this guy?
Let me double check my fact sheet. Chase Kaufman. What?
What's a Chase Kaufman?
I don't know. I think when you go in, you know, to get the checkup. And you know they want you to hold your stuff and cough. Yeah, that's a cough, man.
Hey now.
Never mind. What is that? Was that a hernia check? What is that for? I don't remember anymore. Obviously, I haven't gone to a nurse to have them.
The cough.
Yeah.
I had that when I went into
the ball cough.
When I went to boot camp, and they were just making sure I didn't have anything was wrong with the old boys.
Okay, that's what they told you, huh? All right.
Explicit already.
This is what happens. This is what happens.
And then the touchdown catch by Tony G, man. I mean, just brilliant.
Love is concentration.
Oh, my goodness.
Love is focus. When he was going for that ball, what did he do, Shannon?
He
As he's trying to maintain his balance, he's got one foot in definitively, and he is staring down at the ground.
Literally just kind of like, oh, let me make sure I got my other foot in.
Yeah.
No fear of getting hit, of getting just jacked up.
No.
He's just like,
no.
La-di-da, caught it. Oh, let me make sure I get my other foot in. Yep.
He was so determined to get down. I mean, you could just see, like, he had a death grip on that damn ball.
Literally like he was going to the grocery store to get something. Oh, let me make sure I do this. Okay, I'm good. I mean.
Pro.
Pro's
a pro's pro.
Yes.
Right there, man. That's Tony G, baby. And incidentally, that was his first postseason TD since 2006
against the Colts.
Going back, man. That's the Kansas. That's when Kansas City was good. That's how far back you got to go. And trust me, that probably feels like forever and a day ago for Chiefs fans.
7 years.
That's cold, man. What are you going back to? Like the days of Trent Green, Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, and Tony Gonzalez? That's the only, and Dick Vermeil. That's all I remember.
That was Larry Johnson when he was like top three or top four in the league in rushing.
When they fed him the rock like 500 times in a season and like ran his legs off of him.
And then in that playoff game, the Colts held him to like 20 yards.
Yeah, nice job. And wait a second. When Indy had defense that year?
No, Bob Sanders came back for the playoffs.
Oh, there you go.
That was when Sanders came back for the playoffs. And
Bob Sanders was a stud.
Yeah.
When he was healthy. That's always the caveat. Man, we are in a topic jumping mode. Have you noticed that? We're talking this, we are jumping topics like a mofo, dude.
Having fun, man.
Look, we told you it was a thirsty Thursday. And we told you that the captain's already having some Kentucky bourbon. This is how this goes. We already gave a shout out. We already had a bad movie reference. Man, this is good stuff. Just wait. It's probably going to get worse as this podcast goes on.
Nice.
Attitude, man. Attitude, attitude, attitude. You know, you talk about Matt Ryan coming back from the interception. You talk about Gonzalez delivering in the end zone. You also have to bring up Jaquizz Rodgers with a major, major attitude run.
Oh, my goodness. Look, Twitter went nuts.
It should have. It was a great run.
After this run. I mean, Jaquizz Rodgers, who is 5'6" something, and Earl Thomas, who's a safety. He's pretty good size safety. And Jaquizz Rodgers gets the ball and just trucks Earl Thomas. I mean, just leaves him like he just ran over him.
Well, it's not like just like he ran over him.
He did.
He did run over him.
I mean,
he did run over him.
It's like a semi running over.
He crushed
anything.
Him, dude. That was, you know, it's one of the things in football. When you talk about attitude plays, they tend to be physical. They tend to be an issue of dominance. I'm establishing some dominance over you. You knock somebody back. You talk about fighting in the trenches. You know, O-line dominate. You're talking about, you know, a beautiful catch. You're talking about wide receivers getting physical. You're talking about defenders laying a big hit. Well, when your team has the attitude, you're not just taking a hit. You know what I'm saying? You are delivering the hit. I think back, and this is a strange parallel.
UPS would be happy with that delivery.
Yeah, they would be. That's great, by the way. I think back to Brandon Jacobs when he trucked LaRon Landry.
Woo!
I mean, that was like the crotch heard around the world, or at least all over LaRon Landry's face. That was beast.
Oh, yeah.
Did I really just say the crotch heard around the world?
I think so.
That's crazy. This is a strange night in the Sports Brew, obviously. Brandon Jacobs.
Thirsty Thursday.
Thirsty Thursday, baby. That's what happens on the Sports Brew. Let's go ahead and salute again, just for good measure. There
all
you
of
go.
You listening?
Just remember, it's a Flacco rainbow. Anyway.
So.
And we don't talk about Tim Tebow. No, I'm just kidding. I've been sitting on that one, dude.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, I figured you'd like
Falcons,
that. But
Falcons go up 13-0.
Oh, you're done talking about attitude? Attitude? Energy? Jaquizz Rodgers, that's it? You walk away? You walk away? Did you just go Earl Thomas?
I had to,
Did
man.
You just get trucked out of that conversation?
I got trucked, bro.
You got trucked. Man. You know, they have the tuck rule for quarterbacks. Well, for running backs, I think we just established the truck rule.
Nice.
And when you run like that, when you deliver that kind of attitude, when you can enforce the truck rule on your opponents, you are going beast mode. I actually thought in that first half, Atlanta did such a phenomenal job running the ball that I absolutely thought they stole Marshawn Lynch's Skittles.
I believe they
that
did.
They in the pregame, they found his locker room, his stash of Skittles, and they totally ganked them. They just sucked them down. They're like, here we go. It's on. I mean, seriously?
They stole his
Who
Skittles.
Knew that the fountain of youth for Michael Turner was named Bruce Irvin?
Yeah, what in the world got
Who knew?
Into Michael Turner, man? That guy was running like it was 4 years ago.
Skittles and Bruce Irvin. No Clemens?
Pick on the rookie.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Got to.
Why not? That's what you got to do. Hey, look, small margins, right? Exploit the weakness. Where was the weakness?
Sweep the leg.
Where was the weakness? Bruce Irvin.
And wherever, what's his face was supposed to be.
What's his face? Is that on his jersey?
Yeah, whatever. Dude tore his ACL last week.
Clemens.
I was going to say Claiborne for whatever reason.
Claiborne. Isn't that Marcus Claiborne? Wrong player.
Yeah. Clemens.
Clemens. Like lemons.
Just with the C.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever happened to Cleo Lemon, by the way?
Wasn't the quarterback from the Dolphins?
Yeah, whatever happened to that guy?
Oh, my God.
Does he have a lemonade stand? I mean, he really should, right?
Well, he's probably got his own, like, psychic reading service.
Well, his NFL career had to be bittersweet, right? I'm just saying, man.
That was good, dude.
I'm just saying. Well, if he is his own psychic service, it could, you know, they have Miss Cleo.
Exactly.
They could work together, Miss Cleo Lemon. I'm telling you.
Psychic / lemonade stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Go in there, get your palm red, and have a glass of lemonade at the same time.
That's beautiful.
Man, look at this. For anybody that is a young entrepreneur, we just gave you a golden idea. This idea is shit, by the way. But it's a great idea. Go ahead and have a psychic, like, palm-reading lemonade stand. Man, Lucy's got nothing on the Sports Brew.
Nah.
Charlie Brown is jealous here. You know what kind of advice you're going to get? Well, see, look, if the Sports Brew was involved, we'd spike the lemonade.
Well.
We'd spike the lemonade. You know what? This is not just a thirsty Thursday. This is a topic-jumping Thursday.
Yeah.
I think this is well established at 27 minutes in, when I think half of our dialogue has been about the game and half of our dialogue has been about random crap. That's Sports Brew style.
That's what we do.
Sports Brew style. Okay, so we have Attitude. We have Jaquizz Rodgers. We have Michael Turner in the fountain of youth that is Bruce Irvin. And we're giving, you know, obviously the Atlanta run game a ton of credit because they really leveraged both their running backs very well. They executed their plays. They ran with attitude. And that was something that, in the context of the first half, keep in mind that Seattle had opportunities.
Yes.
Several. And did not capitalize. Now, on one hand, I can appreciate some aggressiveness. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that, when it's 3rd and 1, and Marshawn Lynch is your running back, why on earth is Robert Turbin running the ball?
Look, if I'm the coach, either A, Marshawn Lynch is going to touch it, or B, Russell Wilson's going to run it.
Now, maybe Marshawn Lynch needed to go to the sideline for a Skittles refill. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that, right? Okay, you're going to bring it back in. It's 4th and 1. You've already obviously decided you're not going for the field goal.
Wrong answer. Get on
Pete
the
Carroll, take the points.
You'd only be down 10, and you were severely outplayed at that point.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic at that point in the game. Just some advice from the captain.
Get on the board.
Points on. Get the bagel off the board, dude. Get the bagel off the board.
Give your team critical some confidence.
That's right. But on 4th and 1, they're going for it. They have Lynch out there. It's what do they do?
Well, it was from the 11, right?
Mm-hmm. It was close.
I know it was close to being goal to go. Who are they handed off to? Their fullback, Robinson, right?
Yep. Hey, Marshawn Lynch, what's up? Yeah, I had no ball for you. Sorry.
Fail.
It's the fullback. This, to me, was actually a pretty significant turning point in the game because not only does Seattle not put points on the board, not only do they, you know, look, they don't get a field goal, they don't get points, they don't get a first down, they don't get a touchdown, they turn the ball over, and I know that they've got Atlanta deep, right? But Atlanta, this is where Michael Turner gets a really nasty run, 33 yards, which was, I believe, his long of the day.
Probably long of the year. Well, no, he had a 60-yarder this year, but...
Who on earth were they playing for him to get 60 yards off? Green Bay?
It was like a blitz, and he beat everybody. And
oh, my God.
I mean, they caught him eventually.
Look, if your defense gave up 60 yards to Michael Turner this year, I was going to say your defensive coordinator should get fired, but that's actually pitiful.
That's bad.
Yeah. Turner 4 years ago, not pitiful. Turner today, eh. Actually, you know what? Turner really benefited from the week off.
He did.
I think that's abundantly clear. So that's fantastic. But not only does Seattle fail, this actually ends up being a massive point swing in this game. Because Turner, he gets that nice 33-yard run and get the first down. They end up setting up the bomb to Roddy White. And this was a wonderful throw from Matt Ryan.
Beautiful.
It ends up setting up the bomb to Roddy White. This is actually a play that I thought was particularly... Not only... If you're an Atlanta fan, awesome. If you were any team that played Seattle and you hated Richard Sherman, you just took delight. You just celebrated. Because this was Richard Sherman wiping out, and this was like, this is the thing that gets like memed up on the interwebs. This is the, you mad, bro?
Yeah. Well, he was mad.
He was
wiped
mad.
Out.
Look, dude, you know, earlier in the game, he was doing his whole Dikembe Mutombo like finger wag and, you know, doing that little sign, you know, that little circular sign with your finger near your ear where you're calling people crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think he may have tripped on his own Dikembe Mutombo finger wag.
Yeah, because Roddy White at the end there did a shift where he was going one direction, shifted to another so that he could go catch the ball. And all Richard Sherman got was a mouthful of dirt.
Fake dirt. Artificial dirt.
Artificial dirt regardless.
He ate it.
Roddy White got the touchdown. And as soon as White got the touchdown, he ran right over to Sherman to let him know. And he actually, we here at the Sports Brew got footage of what Roddy White said.
Oh, when Roddy White ran? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like I said, a tremendous series of events for that to happen. And for anybody that doesn't like Richard Sherman, if he got in your team's grill, in your team's face, wagged his finger at you, whatever the case may be, Roddy White gave Richard Sherman and everybody else a little present.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
That's exactly what he just told him.
Beautiful. Oh, Roddy White was in his face. That was chippy.
Oh, well, yeah. Any game chippy with Richard Sherman is going to be chippy.
Yeah.
You saw that last week with Pierre Garçon.
Oh, yeah. Sherman is a gamer, man. That guy plays very hard.
He's one of those guys that you like him if he's on your team, you hate him if he's not. He's one of those guys.
Yeah, he is that guy.
Like there's some guys out there that you like regardless, or you may just not like regardless, but he's one of those. He's on your team, of course you love him. But he's not, you hate his guts.
I don't know, man. He's a little bit rich for me, personally. Tone it down a couple of notches. It's just like, I can respect, say, Courtland Finnegan. And look, I think Richard Sherman absolutely has a little bit of Courtland Finnegan in him.
Oh, he's got a lot of them.
You know what I'm saying? There's some parallels there with what they do.
Correct.
Because they give, you know, they play like football psychological warfare on you, and they're coming for you. And if they can get you pissed off or upset or off your game, you know, that's part of the deal. It's not just beating you physically. It's beating you mentally. And Richard Sherman wants to, you know, that's what he wants to do. He wants to psych you out of your game.
And even after White got in his face and all that, Sherman gave him a golf clap.
That was funny. Yeah.
Which was kind of funny, and you're just kind of like, dude, you just got burnt. just take your tail and go over there.
Yeah, show back up, man. But yeah, that's okay. That's fine. You know, because at the end of the day, for as wonderful as the first half really was for Atlanta, Seattle made a hell of a game of it in the second half. But before we get to the second half, I think there's one thing that's really critical to remember. We already talked about how Seattle left points off the board. They didn't take the points, and you had this gigantic, really, you know, a momentum swing, right? You have this point differential swing by them not going for the field goal, what ends up being a bomb to Roddy White. Well, Seattle does get the ball, again, late, and they're driving. They have about 17 seconds left.
Third and goal.
And the Seattle offensive line gets absolutely crushed by the Atlanta defense. And you have to give crazy credit. I think it's Jordan Babineau.
Yes, Babineau. 95.
Babineau blew up. Whoever his assignment was, crushed him. Because Russell Wilson, and people were being critical of Russell Wilson for taking the sack. He had no time to do anything.
He had no shot. He had no chance to get out of there.
No. His offensive line completely blew that protection. Because, you know, here's the thing. When you watch that play.
As soon as he took his drop, man, I mean, yeah. Babineau was on him.
Because, you know, in that play, because he could have checked it down. There was somebody short, right? But that's not where his eyes were going. That's not where he was looking. That play was going to be, it's either in the end zone or it's through the end zone.
Yes.
That's it. Okay, that wasn't going to be a check down. Why? Because you only have 17 seconds. You have no time. You have no time. So you don't want to, you know, screw around with it. Throw it in the end zone, through the end zone. Well, unfortunately, the offensive line did not get that done. And I got to tell you, man, Reggie White was proud of that defensive effort.
Yes,
because Jordan Babineau, I don't know if that was a spin move, a club move, or just a move, but it was beastly.
What were you telling me? What was Reggie White's favorite sandwich?
That's right. I was getting ready to say, man, Reggie White is so proud of this. You know what Reggie White's favorite sandwich was?
What is it?
It's the club. It's the club. And Jordan Babineau, man, you did Reggie White proud. Busting through that offensive line and getting that sack for your squad, for your team. Because that play, they left points off the board when they elected not to go for the field goal before. This time, you know, Atlanta made sure they couldn't get points on the board. And look, Russell Wilson, I don't know. There are veteran quarterbacks that would not have been able to get another playoff. I know people were very critical, and you know, it was a fail at the end of the first half. Let's be fair, they screwed that up. But most quarterbacks weren't going to be able to get another playoff after that.
And
the thing is, even if they had, they were not set correctly on offense. Would have been a penalty and a 10-second runoff. Would have killed the half. You know, that's one of those things in retrospect, you look back at it, you go, you know what, you probably should have had two plays called or whatever, and maybe they did. But if your offensive line doesn't give any protection, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, Russell Wilson had no chance. And instead, you know, Jordan Babineau and Reggie White are enjoying a club sandwich. That's kind of how that goes. It's crazy. And some of that's an experience thing. But, you know, again, I'm just not sure with that amount of time how many quarterbacks, veteran or not, would have been able to do something in that scenario. Very, very difficult. Very tricky.
So they come out third quarter. Seattle receives the kickoff. And they march right down the field. And Wilson hits Tate.
Yeah, see, one of the things that's so amazing to me is to think that they squandered not only the field goal, but the end of the first half, because they were getting the ball back in the second half.
And it could have been about a 20-6 game. I mean, if you take the absolute, you know, if they score two field goals, they're only down two touchdowns.
They're down two touchdowns, which, you know, it's still a healthy margin.
Right,
but
it's 14.
They get the ball first. And, you know, you can second guess a lot of things, but, you know, Seattle came out very strong in the second half. They came out very strong in the second half. Move the ball down the field. It was about a 5-minute drive, strong open. Golden Tate gets the touchdown. Now, this is one of those points, and again, this is where I think you have to give Matt Ryan. You know, a lot of people talked about, hey, look, this is year, what, five for Matt Ryan?
Yeah, year five.
This is year five. You have several years of playoff experience. Well, you have several years of playoff fails, and, you know, but you've been through it, and you know what it takes to win. You can see it. You can smell it. You can taste it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's there in front of you, but you have to take it. You have to take it. After Golden Tate gets that touchdown, I think that makes it 20-7, Matt Ryan and Atlanta, they drive that back down the field. Tony Gonzalez makes a couple of, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Clutch catches.
Beautiful.
And I want to say it was Snelling that got the touchdown off a shovel pass.
Yeah, shovel pass to Snelling for the touchdown.
But, you know, that's the kind of response that you want to see out of your team.
It was over a 7-minute drive.
Big time drive.
Oh, yeah.
Clock eating, clock killing.
Took over half the third quarter.
Yeah. Phenomenal drive. Once you... you know, get a little bit further in the game. And, you know, at this point, it's still, you're looking at this going, well, you know, 27-7, this is done. Seattle's going to blow this thing. Atlanta's just going to grind clock. They're going to get this stuff done. Well, Russell Wilson, who we have, and like a lot of people, you know, as you get through the season, you appreciate what Russell Wilson is, the on-field leader that he is, how calm he is under pressure, how willing he is to embrace these big moments. when you listen to him talk about these elements of the game, you walk away going, he embraces it. The bigger the moment, I really do think the bigger the moment, the more he likes it.
He's a good dude, man. He's a gamer. Positive guy.
He is a gamer. He is an absolute gamer. Russell Wilson ends up with a great play fake, runs into the end zone. It's a touchdown, 27-14. So Seattle has a little bit of life. You know, at this point, I like to refer to it, Matt Ryan. And, you know, he threw two picks in the game, one bad one in the first half. He responded nicely. He throws another one here. In my notes, I said, well, Matt Ryan chucks up some tater salad. And Earl Thomas goes ahead and picks that off. Now, Earl Thomas, for any Redskin fans, you should remember that he's the one that also picked off that ball. Mm-hmm. I want to say that was intended for Garcon.
Yes.
That Griffin threw deep. Actually, that throw, that whole sequence, that play, that throw, that whole pattern reminded me of that one.
Yeah, it was pretty close. Yeah. Very similar.
Of course, in part, that's because it, you know, it ends up being an interception. But, you know, Atlanta opens the door. 27-14, you have a team that looks like they're totally in control. 27-14, they open a door. Here comes the Seahawks. You have a couple of beautiful play calls, some very clutch moments. And Zach Miller, who has been huge against the Redskins and played well beyond what he should have against the Falcons, considering
brilliant
that he injured his foot in the first quarter.
Yeah, he had a...
Actually, I think he was four plays in.
Three plays in, went to the locker room. You know, they were all on Twitter saying, Zach Miller has gone to the locker room. And I'm like, geez, man.
Yeah, whoops.
I mean, that guy tore up the Redskins' defense.
Oh, he slaughtered him, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Miller was a monster.
And then, like, the next possession, he was in the game. And I was like, he's okay.
He went to the little sideline. You know how at FedEx Field they have that little sideline Pizza Hut box?
Oh, yeah.
He went to whatever it is.
The dungeon.
Yeah, the dungeon. He went to whatever it is in Atlanta. And they jammed. I don't know what they stuck in his foot or shot that man full of. But yeah, he got some, let's just say he got some treatment.
Oh, he was?
He got some treatment.
He wasn't feeling anything.
No, I doubt that. Well, I tell you what, man. He must have been feeling pretty beast because
he
came out
for $142.
Big game out of Zach Miller, and they needed him so much, and he delivered. Right, you know, look, Zach Miller delivered. Russell Wilson delivered. He gets that touchdown there, and this is where, you know, if you're an Atlanta Falcon fan, you're like, huh,
9:13 left is when Zach Miller gets the touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's 27-21.
And then Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons next possession. What do?
Three and out,
baby.
First time all day.
All freaking day. But you know what? Seattle has the ball. They're moving it. And you have to give some props to Atlanta. There's a one of their defensive backs, Deku, mm-hmm. made a phenomenal play to break up a pass to Sidney Rice.
Beautiful.
That was a very, very, very clutch play.
Hell of a play.
So they end up trading some punts. And this is just the point of the game where you're looking at Atlanta and you're going, come on, guys, you got to close this out. They're not getting this done. You know, you end up getting to and look, I called Seattle a grinder team, and I very much think they are. You know, they get stronger as the game goes on. I think in part that's some of their beliefs, some of their energy, how they scheme, their attitude. I think they're very physical. You know, Marshawn Lynch is a running back to get stronger as the game goes on. And Russell Wilson doesn't shrink from the big moments. And that's a tremendous credit to him. We've talked about this so many times, but this quarterback class just stands to be so phenomenally good. It's like they sucked all the talent that could have been there, like, next year. It's like they just sucked all that up, said, nah, you don't get any. Screw you guys. That's not a fair statement because we don't know.
They have a good chance to be special.
Yeah. I mean, great, 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 great draft class from an intangible standpoint and the tangibles and the measurables. Well, other than, you know, Russell Wilson's too short. That's okay.
You know, it's interesting. Just a quick side note on mm-hmm. that. There was some draft scouts out there on Twitter who'd said that if Wilson had been 6'3", he could have gone first, second, or third in that draft.
Yeah.
Depending on who wanted him.
Well, all those guys, all those talent evaluators, all those, you know, draft nicks and all that crap, guess what? You got them totally wrong. Every time I watch the draft, they'll get on there and they talk about motor, they talk about heart, they talk about leadership. Well, this guy had it in spades. In spades. Mm-hmm. And a whole bunch of teams whiffed and missed. How many teams could have used Russell Wilson this year? How about Arizona?
Let's see.
How about Philadelphia?
Larry Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson, or Jeremy Maclin.
Well, they had Nick Foles, so. And Michael Vick. Come on, man. Yeah, exactly.
Where's the crickets?
Where's the... Oh, what, for Michael Vick? Michael Vick gets crickets?
Well, let's think about the coaches that got fired. I mean...
Andy Reid
could have used them.
Wisenhunt. A lot of people got fired.
Romeo Crennel.
Oh, Kansas City? Oh, my God. Matt Cassel?
In my opinion, that sucked.
Brady Quinn?
Oh, Lord. Brady freaking Quinn? Yeah. Brady Quinn. Vomit balls. That's vomit balls.
Buffalo.
Oh.
The Jets.
You lack discipline.
They lack a lot of things.
Yeah, they do. Ugh. A lot of teams passed on him. For different reasons. But Hyde's one of them. But you know what?
A lot of people got fired.
Here's the thing, man. And I'm sure most of you, everybody probably has, you should have a lot of friends, right? You know, people you grew up with, people you work with, whatever the case may be. Do you know anybody that carries themselves bigger than they are?
Yeah.
Russell Wilson is a young man that carries himself and plays bigger than his measurables.
Oh, yeah.
He's that kind of person. He's that kind of player. And a lot of people missed it. But, you know, we're not missing it now. We're not missing it now. And I'm very curious to see what's next for him. And I loved at the end of the game. And I did. Well, actually, I'm going to save that for now. Because let's go ahead and wrap the game up. He had some really interesting post-game commentary. Anyway, about two minutes left. You have the calm, cool, collected Russell Wilson, man.
Leading them down the
field. Lots of clutch plays. And like I said before, the Seattle Seahawks, man, grinder of a team. They're going to make you work. And they balled very hard in the second half to make a comeback of this. Because most people probably figured, this game is 27-7? Dude, this game is done.
Takes a lot of energy.
Get out of here. No way. No freaking way. Not Russell Wilson, baby. Not Russell Wilson, man. Helps rally that team up. And they have about 34 seconds left in there. And you got first and goal. And Marshawn Lynch completely bulldozing into the end zone. Great run. Has a weirdo fumble that ends up bouncing right to his lineman. And you know what's funny about this play is in retrospect, and obviously hindsight's 20/20, you get to look at the game under a different lens.
Hindsight hammer.
Yeah, I'm not going to be critical because in that situation, you got to take the point. You got to take the points.
Yeah, because you could get a bad snap.
You got to take the points, man. I mean, any number of weirdo things could happen. You need the touchdown. You're going to kick the extra point. You're going to go up one. Brilliant, right? You take the points. You trust your defense. You go, you know what? We got Richard Sherman back there, Dikembe Mutombo finger wagging. You know, he's not going to fall down and get the whole you mad. He's not going to get a second you mad bro meme, is he? I mean, Champ Bailey probably got a couple of memes for...
That was in the first half. The first quarter.
As toasted as he got by freaking Torrey Smith. Still ridiculous, by the way. Poor Champ Bailey.
He got burnt.
He got abused. Somebody probably called like a hotline to report that kind of abuse on that guy.
Cornerback abuse hotline.
Yeah, cornerback abuse. Yeah. He might have started the foundation as abused as he got. That's terrible. I like Champ Bailey. I do. But Torrey Smith ate him alive in that game. But anyway, you know, this is one of those weird things that you look at it and, man, the Seahawks probably would have been better off if Marshawn Lynch was like an inch short.
Oh, yeah. And they call that
fumble. Or actually, technically, the Seahawks would have been better off if Marshawn Lynch was a Russell Wilson short. That would be like 4 or 5 inches, right?
Ooh, yes.
Nope. Just like Russell Wilson, man. Punched it on in, right?
Punched it on in.
Played big. It counted. It worked. And, you know, at that point, I'm thinking, oh, my God. This is one of the best comebacks in a playoff game. You know, you're talking about going back to, like, Frank Reich. You know what I'm saying?
The stat I loved in this game was any time a playoff team was up by 20 or more at halftime, the record was 56-1. We all know where the one was.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, 56-1.
Houston.
That's the fact.
that?
Houston at Buffalo. Wild card weekend when Frank Reich led the rally.
That's a great game. We got to watch that game again sometime just to do it. I just want to see the repeat. I just want to see the rally. And the Music City Miracle is also a fun one to see. Because that crowd goes so bananas. So bananas. Frank Reich. That's one of those guys that is probably a trivia question at this point. But yeah, well, that's a great answer.
What's the Trivial Pursuit, right?
Yeah, Trivial Pursuit. That's what it should be. Seattle at that point, you look at that, they have so much momentum.
28-27.
You figure they have Atlanta on their heels. This is actually an interesting moment for Matt Ryan, for the Atlanta Falcons, for Mike Smith. And, you know, Shannon and I had some dialogue going back and forth, and, you know, he was tweeting out, like, roundhouse kicks, dude. You were on, like, Twitter overdrive.
That's when you are tweeting, like, craziness, you know it's a good game.
Yeah. This game, you know, and there's a lot of different metrics that measure things. There must have been, Twitter must have been going off the chains.
Yes.
With this game. Crazy exciting.
If you can follow the right kind of sports people on Twitter, it is so much fun to watch a game with Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
I believe it. Because you just get this stream of consciousness running dialogue. That has to be fantastic. And I mean, this game really, in the end, this game was fantastic. That was one of the most entertaining games by the end of it. Now, again, first half, not so much. But to see them mount that rally, that comeback, you have to give the Seahawks a ton of credit for what that game turned out to be. But here's the thing. That was Atlanta's prove it moment. That was their moment to prove and to show that they were legitimate. Do you understand what I'm saying? That was their time to go, you know what? This is our house. This is our game. We're not quitters, baby.
No.
We're legit.
We are legit.
Atlanta. Too legit to quit. That's right. Too legit. A little MC Hammer. Please don't hurt him.
Don't hurt him, Hammer.
Don't hurt him. That's right. Little MC Hammer, man. MC Hammer's fun, by the way.
Yeah.
It's still fun. It was fun then. It's fun now. I love it. Matt Ryan. Mike Smith. Saved by the grace of a crappy timeout from Pete Carroll. But you guys were too legit to quit.
Boy, let's think about it. They get the ball, return it to the 28-yard line. 25 seconds left. Two timeouts. Matt Ryan hits a pass to Harry Douglas for
crazy
22
clutch.
Yards.
Crazy clutch.
Midfield. So they get it, tackled inbounds, called the timeout.
And who's your next big guy?
I mean, who else?
Who else but the one and the only?
The football gods just said, throw it to Tony Gonzalez.
Hey, Tony G, guess what, man? You're what, 16 years in? And then what it is?
Time to make a play. And he gets it at about
it's there.
The 36, and I want to say he wiggles his room, gets about another 3 or 4 yards.
Of determined.
To get him a
determined.
To get less than a 50-yard. I think he get him to about a 49-yard field goal.
Yes. What is Tony Gonzalez?
Too legit to quit.
Tony Gonzalez, man. Are you freaking kidding me?
Atlanta calls their timeout. Now, listen. Atlanta had 13 seconds left. Hey, Pete Carroll, Atlanta kicked the field goal. Atlanta said, you know what? We don't have any timeouts left. We're going to win it right here, right now. And Pete Carroll said, oh, I got a timeout.
Well, let's do this a little bit of justice, man. Let's do this a little bit of justice, all right? You have a series of events here. Number one, you have the intersection of sports history. You have the monkey on the back of a franchise.
He's hanging
of
on.
A team, of a franchise quarterback, of a coach. You have a Hall of Fame tight end that has zero
GOAT
playoff wins.
Greatest of
okay,
all time.
Okay, this is not just, yo, hey, Pete Carroll, suck that. We can actually kick a field goal. This is a franchise. Matt Bryant, and he got an assist from Pete Carroll. Matt Bryant kicked that monkey off the back of Mike Smith, of Matt Ryan, of that team.
The second time around.
He kicked that monkey off of all of their collective backs. Now, the icing the kicker thing is a slightly different issue. And keep in mind, Pete Carroll, you know, earlier you had that issue with Justin Tucker from Baltimore going onto the field and sneaking in a practice kick, which I don't think I've ever seen that happen that way before. That was a very, very strange sequence of events.
To each his own, though. Very
shrewd
move.
That's fun. It was gutsy. But here's the thing. Pete Carroll, and, you know, they kept showing all these replays of Pete, and he was going crazy. And people are like, well, who, you know, what do they think? He didn't call a timeout? Well, he called a timeout, but his issue, his point of contention was the practice kick.
Yes.
But what do you expect the referees to do? Do you think the referees are going to go and block the kick? Do you think the referees are going to go dive into the pile? Do you think the referees are going to go grab the ball? What do you want them to do, Pete freaking Carroll? If you want them to blow the timeout so that there's no practice kick, you got to call the timeout a little bit earlier. Otherwise, Bryant gets the ball.
You said balls.
And a freaking practice kick. That is how it works, Pete Carroll.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice.
Yeah.
We're talking about practice, man.
Yeah. Even Allen Iverson knows it's practice, baby.
Is an outrage.
Maybe so. You know, I mean, Pete Carroll was trying to do what? Was he trying to Matty Ice the kicker?
Hey now.
Hey-o. Look, it didn't work. But what do you want the refs to do? Look, I do not like icing the kicker. Let me rephrase that. If you're going to ice the kicker, call it before they're in a position to snap the ball and kick. If you want to ice a kicker, man, call it before they get a practice shot.
Call it before they get to the line of scrimmage.
Just do it. If you want them to hang out there and think, you can even go stand by the ref so the kicker thinks you're going to call. Actually, you know what? You should have the icing the kicker.
Yes.
If you want to play psychological warfare.
Fake out.
Go stand by the ref and make the kicker think you're going to ice them. Because when you looked at that play, it was sloppy. That was a sloppy field goal in part because the timeout had been called and the referees are waving their arms and doing whatever and they snap the ball. Matt Bryant kicks that damn thing anyway. He didn't care. I mean, why not? Go ahead and take the kick, man. Go ahead and do it. It ends up being wide right. Guess what?
Doesn't matter.
You get another kick. So on that one, Pete Carroll, you get a big fat oops and you can be mad all you want. If you're going to play the icing kicker game, if you're going to do that, call that timeout a little bit earlier. That is one of my least favorite things in games. I hate the icing the kicker. Because if they miss that first kick and they make the second, you look like an idiot.
Yep.
You look like a fool.
Yep.
And you can't undo it. You can't take it back. It's done. Again, look, fantastic game. Russell Wilson, wonderful game, man. He finishes with about 385 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, a pick, 7 rushes, 60 yards. He actually sets a record for total yardage, you know, by a rookie in a playoff game.
Beautiful.
Beastly. What did he have, 445? Is that what it was?
Yes.
You know, Colin Kaepernick, he barely eclipsed Kaepernick, who had 444 against the Packers, which itself was phenomenal. Obviously, they accomplished it slightly differently. And maybe you go, well, you know what? You know, Abraham was out for the Falcons really for a lot of the second half, and so that helped Seattle a little bit. Maybe they played a little soft on D. You know, look, maybe they did. Maybe they did. The bottom line is still a great game out of him. You know, Matt Ryan, 250 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, a couple of picks. You know, nice game out of collectively Jaquizz and out of Michael the Burner Turner. Actually, Torrey Smith might need to borrow that nickname because he was burning Champ Bailey so bad. Yeah. Just as a random side note. Great, nice game out of Roddy White. And a thriller of an end. I mean, that felt like, and it really was, that was like having two game-winning drives. That was two game-winning drives in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, only one team can win.
Two scores in the last 30 seconds.
I mean, ridiculous. Ridiculous. But that's the assertiveness. That's the aggressiveness that you wanted to see out of, say, Peyton Manning and the Colts. The Colts. Peyton Manning and the Broncos. Right?
Yeah.
That's aggressiveness.
30 seconds with two timeouts.
That's playing
predicament.
That's playing for the win. That is going for it. That is playing with stones. That's playing with cojones. That's playing with attitude. And both Atlanta, and I said before, that end of that game was a unique opportunity for Atlanta not only to win it, but to win that game through adversity and for Matt Ryan to deliver in the clutch. And to take care of certain things when a lot of people would have been like, oh, you know, this team's going to fold. Well, you know what? They didn't fold. I mean, Seattle didn't fold, but Atlanta didn't fold. They played to win the game.
You play to win the game.
That's how that works.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Damn freaking right I understand that.
Yes!
That's how that works. Matt Ryan and that Atlanta offense balled up big time, dude. Big time to rally up and get that done with that amount of time on the clock. Pete Carroll gave them an assist by blowing that timeout call.
You lack discipline.
That's on Pete Carroll.
Yep.
It is. But that doesn't take away what Atlanta accomplished by winning that game. Think of the pressure that was on Mike Smith. And we speculated about his job security.
Oh, yeah.
If he didn't get his first playoff win, we speculated about his job security. There are reports.
If they had blown that 20-point lead.
Yeah. There are reports that if they had lost that game, that Mike Smith would have been fired. Now, they didn't lose that game. So we don't know that absolutely would have happened. I'm just saying. There's some reports and some rumors about that. And at the end of the day, and I like Marty Schottenheimer, but the criticism that people love to lob about Marty Schottenheimer is that he, great regular season coach, didn't get it done in the playoffs. And whether it's fair or not, if Mike Smith and the Atlanta Falcons had that game taken away from them, because that's not just a matter of losing. That's a team, you know, that takes a victory from you.
Collapse.
You know, that takes it from you, that would be viewed as an epic playoff football collapse. It would have been awful for them.
Yeah.
But they got it done. They got it done.
Congrats
and I think,
to the Falcons.
Yeah. No, you have to give a lot of congratulations to Atlanta. I think they earned it. I think they deserved it. You know, Matt Ryan, who's taken his fair share of criticism, as has Mike Smith, as has this era of the Falcons. They've taken some heat, but you know what?
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Well, the 49ers are going to try to touch that.
Hey, now.
They got a lot of defense, man. That's a different topic. We'll get to that, too. We'll get to that, too, because that's what we do here on the Sports Brew, baby.
Yes!
That's freaking right. I think Sam Jackson is thirsty, by the way.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Yeah, it's about time for the Sports Brew to make a new beverage, too. So we're going to take a really quick pause, I think, once we wrap up our thoughts with Seattle and Atlanta. Look, man, at the end of the day, hell of a game at the end. A ton of credit to Russell Wilson for staying cool under pressure. And, you know, you got to give some of that same thing to, you know, Matt Ryan, who did a tremendous job essentially not folding. Yes. And, you know, responding to that first interception, you did get the Marshawn Lynch fumble, but still. Looked very sharp in that first half. And then, yeah, that last pick that he threw that really opened the door for the Seahawks, That was a moment where that team could have given in, and they didn't do it.
Nope.
You know, you've got the adversity. Fighting through the adversity is always a big theme with football. And you think about teams that are close, but don't get over the hump. You know, the Cowboys in the mid-90s went through that. Green Bay in the late 90s went through that. You know, there was always the big boy on the block that you had to get past. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the NFL is a little bit different. You don't always have the big boy on the block, but what you have is a team every year that gets hot or that gets, you know, gets rolling. A couple years ago, it was Green Bay that totally lit up Atlanta and booted them out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, last year it was the Giants that totally crushed them in the playoffs. So Atlanta, and this is interesting, you figure Atlanta the last 2 years gets knocked out by the eventual, you know, Super Bowl champions. Well, hadn't happened yet. So, although it's good odds, if San Francisco beats Atlanta, they're probably going to be the Super Bowl champions. 3-for-3 would be the, you know, no, I'm just kidding.
Good chance, 50%. Good,
so you're telling me there's a chance.
I'm telling you there's
Look
a
at
chance.
That. Shannon's telling me there's a chance in that thing. But, you know, one of the things I loved at the very end of this game, post-game with Russell Wilson. He's talking about this game, and obviously he's disappointed. He talks about how he's disappointed when he's running back to the tunnel. But what I love about this guy, this player, this young man, is his clear love and passion and enthusiasm for the game. So he talks about how disappointed he is, but he said he's excited for the next opportunity, next year, looking forward to what we have in the future, the resilience of this team.
The leader.
And remember this. Russell Wilson, right, you know, after this game is done, the Seahawks season is over. And what's he doing?
Studying tape.
Looking at film. Seriously? Oh, but you got to love that, dude.
Love it.
You got to love that.
See, if I'm a GM, man, I want a quarterback or anybody that for that matter that's just a football junkie.
Football junkie, baby. That's what it is. And that's what Russell Wilson is, man.
Absolutely.
He's a freaking football junkie. We're going to go ahead and take just a little bit of a break, make some new beverages, and we're going to crank this, you know, junk back up. On the flip side with that, we're going to go ahead and bring in and do the old classic Dial-A-Dude. That's right. We're going to bring in D-Stat on the other side of this piece because, you know, hey, it's the Sports Brew. We got crashing computers. We got the Sports Brew bullpen coming into effect in this piece. It's the way that it goes. But you know what? That's how much we like doing this show, man. We're going to find a way to plug through, get it done. That's right. Sports Brew's got to keep on running, baby. So I'll see you on the flip side. As always, you can find us, facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can track us down on both iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Keywords, yeah, you guessed it, Sports Brew. We got more stuff coming at you, wrapping up some NFL thoughts and a little bit of that playoff prognostication with the Degenerate Gambler, with the D-Stat. That's right. That's how we're going to roll, baby. See you on the other end of this piece. Lord knows, part 3 of the Sports Brew. Who saw that coming? Not me, but that's the way that it goes. Yeah, buddy.